Hey, celebrate and rejoice. It's Rob Nichols and friends on Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast. Not to be confused with Fly Me to the Moon, the song, or the fragrance for men.
Well, what will you be doing on the 18th of February, 2023, between 11 a.m. and 3 p.m., and certainly if you happen to be in the region of Middlesbrough? Well, if you've got any sense whatsoever, you'll make your way to 2B Creative Health at the Hill Street Shopping Centre in Middlesbrough and actually take part in a free, I say that again, free event. So don't worry about the cost of living crisis, just costs a bit of time. And again, it's taking place between 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. What is happening there, you might well say? Well, it's a journey through writing. A journey through writing, which has gone from the 20th century, specifically 1988, to 2023, because we're very lucky to actually welcome the person who's going to be behind this grand event, etc., with his latest book, of course, to hand, and lots of his poetry, of course, friend of Fly Me to the Moon, and indeed ace poet, although we haven't had many of his odes recently. I think Jimmy Flynn's taken over that particular role. So it's author Kadeem Hussain. Welcome, Kadeem. How are you?
Great, thank you, yes.
Good, that's all right then. All right, now we've spoken in the past and you copped up on a number of programmes, of course, because you were one of the key employees, of course, of ICI. You were involved with science, the whole basis within that. And then suddenly, via the medium of the University of Teesside and a variety of academics there and so on, you crossed that bridge that many people often say is uncrossable between the sciences and humanities. And in fact, of the you're now obviously a key creative writer. You produced the history of the takeaway, the curry, a history of curry in this country, the whole range of other bits and pieces. What will you be doing at this event, A Journey Through Writing?
Well, the idea is people assume like when you write, writing and football don't mix. Mine's a very different story. I became a writer, if you like, because of the football. My first interest was doing the book Going for Curry, where I met Rob Nichols. But that was a very special subject. It's history, and that was it. And Rob just met me by accident and said, come and read a poem at the lodge of his fanzine. I said, Rob, I know nothing about football. I've definitely got any poems on football, on Middlesbrough football. He looked at me, he said, you've got 2 weeks and write one. So I wrote one in Punjabi. He liked it so much, he invited me to write one for every home match. Now that gave me an audience and the confidence to write something. It gave a deadline. And because it was there every week in his every match, home match, people got to know my work. So that gave me the confidence to become a poet. Without that, I don't think it would have been possible, because where do you find the audience if you're just starting off?
Well, I know I've read many of those poems out. So has Rob, of course, for the podcast equivalent of the paper version of Fly Me to the Moon. And obviously thoroughly enjoyed them. But let's talk more about this event, as I say, at 2B Creative Health, Hill Street Shopping Centre, on the 18th of February. So if you've been tardy in actually downloading this particular podcast and you haven't actually accessed it before the 18th of February, or you're listening to it as part of a programme which is going on after that, then, sorry, it's too late. But you'll still be able to obviously follow Kadeem Hussain. But what is happening at this free event, A Journey Through Writing?
Well, no, so I planned this to put event to happen during Middlesbrough's home match. The idea is I get to meet some of the fans, maybe pick up some more ideas. But it's just my involvement in the writing and the Middlesbrough Football Club, because it's been because of my sort of involvement with the football club. I had 2 books on the Middlesbrough Football Club poems. I'm working on another one to be published just after the end of the season, which is going to be the mark the 30th anniversary of the Premiership, with my point of view, from Middlesbrough's point of view. And also, by the end of this year, by November, I'm hoping to have my book finally published, me going to the first match. And that was because I was inspired by a comment by that Rob Nichols made when I said, Rob, there are 2 books on poems. I'm going to be bored, because there's only so many times you can say good, bad, or complain, you know. And he said, why don't you go to the match and write about you going to the first match? And to be honest, it became more about me than the football match. Football match is only sort of mentioned in the last sort of couple of pages. But it's just my journey towards the becoming a Middlesbrough fan. So hopefully we'll pick up some few more ideas from the fans. Also, I've been working on... I find it easier if I can get my own scrapbook to concentrate rather than going through all the programs. So I've got a couple of, at least three scrapbooks of different seasons. And the idea is that hopefully they'll be useful when I'm writing rather than going through 22 programs. And you know, so something's out of order. So hopefully I'll learn a bit and maybe you know some people enjoy some of my work.
Excellent. And of course, the 18th of February, as Borough fans will all know, is when Middlesbrough are actually at home to Queen's Park Rangers. That's obviously after away trips to Cardiff City and Sheffield United. So it could well be that the dream of automatic promotion could actually be on the verge of being realised, or at least the heady heights of playoff positions and so on. One minor point, of course, Kadeem. I mean, we said the event is from 11 a.m. through to 3 p.m. Now, the kickoff is 3 p.m., so presumably, have you got instant matter transportation to actually beam you across from the event at the Hill Street Shopping Centre to the Riverside?
No, I think that was a bit of error in our printing. It should be actually about 2:15, because it's got to go to match as well.
Yeah, that makes, I mean, that gives you at least 45 minutes to get from the Hill Street Shopping
Centre.
It's
put on 3 o'clock. I just left it at 3 o'clock. I thought it's not much of a problem.
Well,
but if somebody turns up after a call bus for 2, I won't be there.
Yeah, yeah. And result will be unhappiness. So clearly that's the key aspect of the whole thing. So let's talk Middlesbrough for a wee while, Middlesbrough Football Club. Season started off with great high hopes and then kind of degenerated with respect to Chris Wilder's departure and so on. Now, of course, we seem to have the wonders of Michael Carrick and Jonathan Woodgate. And despite the challenges of a sound trouncing by Brighton and Hove Albion in the FA Cup, things are looking rosy. I mean, are you kind of encouraged? I mean, you do tend to have this notion, as I seem to recall, of a season of a joy and a season of despair, really.
Well, to be honest, we've been in this situation before, so touch wood, this will go better this time, you know. We've been through the playoffs against Norwich. That was a disaster. The problem, I think, is being a Borough fan, is you've got to learn to suffer. And I will wait until, you know, the playoffs are over, then I'll comment on that. As I said, with a bit of luck, we should be in the Premiership next season. But I find that end of season is a difficult time, because by the time we get new season, the stuff changed, the players have changed, so you can't really build on that. So it's going to be pushed this season. If we get the Premiership, then obviously you get the different players. But once you say, well, okay, we've got to the playoffs, next season will be better. I think you start from beginning again next season, because you lose a lot of players, don't know who you're going to get, and it takes a while for the teams to gel.
Well, there we are. Interesting concepts. Kadeem, I've got to actually ask you the question. Which poets inspire yourself? I mean, you mentioned that obviously you were helped, inspired and assisted hugely by Rob Nichols as editor of Fly Me to the Moon, the fanzine, of course. Who, in terms of writing and poetry in general, do you find impressive?
That's difficult to say, actually. I would say Bob Beagrey, Andy Willoughby, and obviously Rob Nichols, because although he just gave me free rein, he gave me the platform.
Obviously, Bob and Andy are both basically University Teesside. Rob, as far as I'm aware, doesn't write a lot of poetry. I could be wrong. Can you go? I mean, it might be said you could be being a little bit biased in terms of those suggestions. Are there any other authors or writers that you particularly are fond of? I mean, are you a secret Khalil Gibran follower in The Prophet, for instance?
Sorry, I didn't get a question.
Other than people who've directly impacted your own particular pathway, which other poets or writers do you follow?
There's too many, to be honest, because you've got the local poets and we have lots of them. Obviously, there's the national poets, there's international poets, with it being the internet, everything else. And of course, there's the Bollywood. And what they did was until the 1990s, they used to take poetry and filmize that. So they were the actual poets wrote these, not the songs. And obviously there were certain events were taken up. And there's a classic one is when the abdication of our king, that was put in one of the films. And he says, you know, he would give up his crown and the throne for her. And he says, he says, I give up, rather, for you. So, yes, there's been a lot of poets. I think it's too many to say.
Well, again, it's always important that we give credit to that, especially if it was foreshadowing in the case that you've just cited, the instance of Harry and Meghan. But not that Harry would have anything, had been anything other than a spur. OK, let's move back to this particular thing, A Journey Through Writing. It is, as I've said several times now, a free event. Do people just turn up? Do they have to register? Is it an Eventbrite thing? Or is it just a case of come along to the Hill Street Shopping Centre, and you'll find me in 2B, that's 2 and the letter B, Creative Health?
Yeah. Well, the turn up, as I said, it's an informal sort of a chat, talk, whatever they want. Obviously, there'll be some of the my poems that have not been published, the miserable poems. Also, I'm bringing all my scrapbooks as well. And some of the other stuff I've collected about Bridgeware, the printed stuff. Mm. And there's some interesting ones early on in the early history of the club.
That lass on Radio 4 who's sort of Charlotte Green, she's got nothing on me.
Do you look into their eyes, Ian, or is that too personal a question? You don't want to go into this.
What would you be shouting at the television screen, Ian Lennox?
Repeat that.
But there is a slight suggestion that next season might be better. So
Let's hope so.
No one seems to get a penalty for pulling shirts nowadays, or hardly ever.
Or Seven Simple Seasons.
See what you did there?
Yeah. Yes, like so. It.
Fly Me to the Moon, the audio podcast companion with Rob Nichols.
Okay, so 3-1, clearly a very good result for two teams very close to my thoughts, etc. One in Premier League, one obviously in the Championship, but not for much longer. Eh, Rob Nichols?
Well, it's going really well at the moment, and it was a fantastic result to beat Sheffield United at Bramall Lane, one of many 3-1s going on this week. But to beat them as well when we were actually a goal behind, you know, it looked early on like a repeat of last season where we were swept away. That was in Chris Wilder's time, of course, going back to his old club and then getting absolutely hammered. But it was so impressive the way we regrouped, came back. Chuba Akpom, of course, who else? Should score the goal to bring us back into it. And then Cameron Archer, who's looking like a really astute loan signing, scoring those two goals. And really, we were completely on top in the second half and thoroughly deserved that win, which gives us some hope that perhaps we can bridge the gap to Sheffield United. If I think it needs them to fall away. But it's very important to continue the momentum. And there's a great feeling around watching Borough at the moment, home and away. Mm-hmm. And everybody is clamouring to be part of that atmosphere that because it's not often that you get back-to-back-to-back home and away wins like this.
Yeah, but you
and
see,
it plays so well. That's the thing, so well.
Yeah, there is, of course, a secret weapon. In fact, two secret weapons that effectively we haven't alluded to. One, of course, the fact I've kept this backdrop, which for the people who actually ever see our Facebook updates will know we always like to have a little backdrop together. And, of course, we have predictress extraordinaire Jessica Burtis on the case to effectively provide that. Add to that an American goalkeeper in Zach Steffen. As I said at the start of the season, Rob, I mean, the promotion was always going to be guaranteed, really.
Yeah. He does get the USA chance whenever he touches the ball, and he does dominate his box. He gives us a few scary moments when, as he did at Cardiff, when he gives the ball away from playing out from the back. Sometimes,
if you've learned from Pep Guardiola, that's what you do.
I know, and that's what happened at Man City, wasn't it, in a cup final when he was in goal. But apart from that, he is very commanding, and he's a bit like Carrick on the pitch. He's very very calm presence. Which is certainly something that you look for in a goalkeeper. But yeah, things are going very well at the moment, and I think even the predictorous supreme Jessica would not bet against Borough at the moment.
There we are. Never visited Middlesbrough, but currently in Dublin. And Jessica, I don't know if you've been following the side, but just for information, you're absolutely spot on with your predictions for Middlesbrough to win. And indeed, unlike, of course, Jenny, who hasn't even connected with us today, Middlesbrough got a 3-1 victory at Sheffield United. So there we are. Currently standing in third position in the Championship, some 7 points behind Sheffield United, having played a game more. But in those immortal words of many a Newcastle United supporter over the years, it's still all to play for, isn't it, Ian Lennox?
Yes, I think it is. There are people saying that, you know, targets Sheffield United. I think the first piece is to get the playoffs, make sure they're in the playoffs, because I think the way they're playing at the moment, what I've seen is they would be favourites to win the playoffs. I know it's a hit and must thing. You've got three games, and if you lose one, you're in danger. But that's the first one. Actually, then the next, they're not going to catch Burnley. No one's going to catch Burnley. But there is a possibility now of them catching Sheffield United, whose next four games, three are away, I think, against it's a couple of regional teams as well, I think. So the way Middlesbrough are playing, which is a different way of playing from the way they started the season, I think they've got every chance of I'll certainly back them to get in the playoffs, and I back them to win it that way. I think the new manager's done a fantastic job. He's changed the style of play slightly as well. I think I've only seen him sporadically, but I seem to remember last season Middlesbrough playing predominantly attacking through wing backs, a very fast wing back up the right. At the beginning of this season, we're attacking with two wing-backs up either flank, and now they seem to have moved somebody wide out right, and he's playing as a more orthodox wide right attacker, and he's scoring goals. And Agpon's gone to number 10 now, I think, and he's doing brilliantly there. He's one of the few people in the division who's got the coolness to stand still in the penalty area and let space come to him. And the goal he scored against Sheffield United was a very good example of that. He basically moved into the box in the inside air position, he got the ball, he touched to kill it, pushed it once and hit it. And he never hits it up in the air, he never leans back to get power. He hits it low and he got his reward. I think that's his 17th goal this season, isn't it?
That's right, 17th league goal. It's pretty impressive.
He looks though he could be, hold his own in the Premier League. I don't know. You can't tell you see it. You know, I mean, they get better defenders, and it gets a bit quicker and that sort of stuff. But he's certainly got a chance. He's certainly got a head on his shoulders. He's got a football brain, that's for sure. So I was very impressed with him, and I think I was also very impressed the way Middlesbrough move at the pitch now. They've got men around the ball. There's not too much whacking the ball to someone on his own up front, hoping he's going to hold the ball while other people run around him. They move up the pitch in concert, and they look a very, very well organised team to me, playing with great amount of confidence. And there's just to me, they've really impressed the thing about the win this week was to go a goal down to Sheffield United very early on, and then to win 3-1. That took some doing, I think.
Rob, I would never have actually thought I would ever live to hear a 5-minute eulogy from a Newcastle United supporter singing the praises of Middlesbrough. I mean, Jessica, this is a historic moment, and I trust you appreciate the significance of this particular Fly Me to the Moon episode. Who would have thought it? You know, it just shows miracles can indeed happen. Also, in case you're wondering, if you've joined us just now, or you've just talked, which way, if you're listening on a podcast, why would you just join us now? Start at the beginning. You will have heard Kadim Hussain again, also eulogising about Rob Nicholls, and quite rightly so, a journey through writing 1988 to the present day, a discussion session with indeed local author Kadim Hussain, covering his journey from science, because he was, of course, an ICI soul, to creative writing and crossing the bridge between them. It is actually tomorrow. Yes, tomorrow. That's where you need to be there. So if you're listening to this on the 17th of February and you're ready for the Middlesbrough versus QPR game, go to 2B Creative Health Hill Street Shopping Centre in Middlesbrough. Be there at 11 o'clock. There is a poster, Rob, that's going round, which we have hopefully sort of managed to sort of say no. If you turn up at 2:30 or 3 o'clock, you won't see Kadeem. He'll be at the Riverside. So this is important. It is an 11 o'clock start. And if obviously you're listening to this after the match, well, you just have to find some sort of time machine. There we are. Shameless plug for Kadeem Hussain. Right, I mean, obviously, we talked about him before. So there you go. Jessica, let's turn to yourself. Have you been following Middlesbrough's fortunes? Or is it just a case of, again, you're looking for complete blind faith in random choices and let's follow the pigeons?
I need to find a way to watch UK sports, because a lot of times when I try to watch UK channels on my computer, it knows I'm in Dublin and it won't let me. But it'd be fun to actually watch it in real time rather than just looking at the scores after. So if anyone knows of a way that I can watch them, that's not important.
Yeah. There are lots of illegal ways, but obviously we want a legal one. So let's go for that. Rob, any thoughts? Any way you can help Jessica finally watch her fellow country person in the goal of Middlesbrough Football Club?
Yeah, hopefully towards the end of the season we might be on Sky a bit more, and she might be able to see them in bars in Dublin, I suppose. Yeah, and if she becomes a big supporter, having watched that, then she can subscribe and watch all the matches. So that's something to look forward to. Once you sort of fall in love with the football and the team, then you can subscribe for the season.
Actually, all you need to do is you go to the nearest train station and watch the pigeons.
You'll
get enough information from them. It's foolproof as far as I can see. I don't know what the scientific basis is, but it's working.
Apparently, I recommend it for everyone. It gives you prophetic abilities when it comes to football.
Yeah. Well, there you are. Okay, Rob, let's talk Queen's Park Rangers. Clearly, time to celebrate one of Neil Warnock's four former teams, now that Neil Warnock is back in management with Huddersfield. So great news there.
What a surprise.
Yeah. you're never too chronologically gifted to actually have a Neil Warnock in your side, basically. Clearly, that's a classic line there. Must be very confident. I mean, it's the start of what I consider to be a fairly interesting bank of fixtures with a number of home games. I mean, you've got Reading at home on the 4th of March. You've got Stoke City at home on Tuesday the 14th of March. You've got a couple of away games against Swansea, and then to wrap up the February sequences, on the 25th of February, it's away to West Bromwich Albion. Also a side who actually have had a new manager, bounce back effect, and seem to be slowly but surely moving into safety areas and indeed higher in the league.
West Brom, that is. Yeah. The obviously, well, a couple of seasons now, they've still got some parachute money, surely, from being in the Premier League. They're in the Premier League a long time. Always going to be dangerous. I think that they've been impatient with their managers, but not quite to the same degree as Watford. A bit unrealistic at times. So they will be definitely a threat. QPR were our next opponents, and they've just been turned over by Sunderland, haven't they?
Haven't mentioned Tony Mowbray's side, of course. Yeah. I suspect that Ian might not be as fulsome in his praise of Sunderland, because, Jessica, it's a well-known fact, not a myth, an actual fact, that the only commonality between the towns of Middlesbrough and the city of Newcastle is indeed their shared mutual dislike and distaste for the town that's basically about 6 or 7 miles south of Newcastle and about 20-odd miles north of Middlesbrough. It's just one of those things, basically. So I don't know, Ian, are you going to fall back on your old traditional, well, I like to see every team in the North East do well?
Yes, it's true. So for football teams are known throughout the world. Cities are known throughout the world for the football teams, not for any other real reason.
Ian, is one of the key points, which again I need to just share with Jessica. Cities. Sunderland got city status. Newcastle have city status. Despite several attempts, as Rob will attest to, we are still a town, Rob. What the heck is going on?
Yeah, well, we don't...
I mean, South End got it recently. I mean, South End ahead of Middlesbrough. What is happening?
The last three cities were from Essex: Chelmsford, Southend, and Colchester. So we're in the wrong part of the country, I'm afraid. But it's actually costing us dear, because, as you know, Alex, our Marks and Spencers is closing very soon. Yeah. And if we had had city status as a city for the conurbation of Teesside, then perhaps the Marks and Spencers would not have closed. So it's that kind of thing that costs Judea from not being a city and being regarded as a small town.
It's a well-known
town in England.
It's a well-known fact, Rod, that to have city status, you've got to have a cathedral, or you may have to have a cathedral.
We have a cathedral. We've always had a cathedral.
You've got to have a Marks and Spencers.
Yeah, we've had it now then, haven't we? Yeah.
And pigeons.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, Jessica, do you want a bit more information about QPR? Because the Queen's Park Rangers, a London side, known as the Hoops. For some years, actually, they were kind of my second side after Manchester City, also a good 3-1 victory. But, you know, that's a side, in case you were wondering earlier this week. Rob, anything else we can share with Jessica about QPR? I mean, obviously, they've had a bit of a patchy history in so many ways.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. The ground is just round the corner from where the BBC has always been based. And I know for years, if there was any problems with their matches being called off that was due to be screened on the BBC, then they would just nip round the corner to Loftus Road and televise that or send the reporters there. So it's you're right. A lot of people had it QPR as their second team in our generation, because they were quite a glamorous side for a while. And
you had Rodney Marsh, you had Stan Bowles, you had Dave Thomas, you had Jerry Francis, you had a whole range of interesting players. Even Phil Parks, I think, was there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
All together, just about the same time, the 70s, wasn't it? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But they've been languishing in the Championship for a little while now. But it's a kind of... It's a ground that's really, really tight ground, and you can actually you feel like you're almost touching the players. You're that close. So I don't know whether so that means if you get a good atmosphere there, it can be quite intimidating for the away side. But when they go away from QPR, that might be a problem for them, and they're very much going to be away tomorrow at the Riverside. And let's hope it's a good opportunity to continue. This great momentum that we've got, which is a great thing about it, is we've been beating teams at the top of the table, but also been not falling for the banana skins at the bottom of the table. So we put Cardiff away last week, and it's so essential that you do both. You don't beat Sheffield United and then fall against a team that everyone's saying is a formality to play against.
In terms of the form, Jessica, again, and then this may or may not help, Middlesbrough's last 5 games, 1 defeat and 4 wins. Queen's Park Rangers, no wins, 2 draws, 3 defeats.
Oh, no. Not the best record.
So with 39 points, they are conceivably, with another defeat tomorrow, conceivably actually beginning to head down to the relegation zone. But that may not influence your thoughts whatsoever. Jessica, what's your prediction for Middlesbrough versus QPR?
Well, I like an underdog. And I like Middlesbrough, but I think I'll side with QPR for this, to hopefully get them that first one win. Maybe it'll just be 1-0. I don't know if I like underdogs. What can I say?
Yeah.
You're not making yourself very popular on this Borough podcast.
Sorry.
the trouble is, Rob is always right.
Well,
that might be the end. Who knows?
yeah. Interesting. Ian, what's your thoughts as far as the final score is concerned for this battle against the Londoners?
I'm going to go for 3-0 Borough. I'm a bit curious as to what has happened with the crowd, because Middlesbrough have done so well recently. I'm just wondering, have they gone up at all?
Yeah, they are. Be very interesting to see what happens tomorrow, but the crowds are heading and they're 26, 27, 28,000, so it's all heading in the right direction.
That's a very good sign, yes.
Yeah. Hopefully it doesn't mean that they increase the prices.
I think that's a forlorn hope, Rob. I mean, that is, it kind of goes without saying, really. Otherwise, how can you have financial fair play in action to obviously prevent sides from actually, like Newcastle, buying their way to trophies, you know?
Oh, good God.
Anyway.
How could you say that? He kept did you see, Rob? He kept a straight face when he said that.
Yeah, well.
Do not play poker with this man.
Okay. Rob, you're quietly confident in terms of how we're seeing, because, I mean, I don't think anybody would have... Well, perhaps actually, strangely enough, maybe at the start of the season under Chris Wilder, people were expecting this. So in one hand, on the one hand, it's not unexpected, but on the other hand, given the start that Burrow actually had, I mean, obviously it was a case of basically secure mid-table mediocrity at one stage, and now here you are, 54 points from 32 games, and literally beginning to hot on the heels of Sheffield United.
Yeah, I think as we said last time, we were 21st when Michael Carrick took over, and if you think about that, it was quite a lengthy period before he actually took the reign while he was assessing things, I suppose. And Leo Perkovic was caretaker, and he'd steadied the ship to some extent. We were doing even worse than before with Chris Wilder. It was quite a shocking start, and it was a shock because we were the favourites to go up on, you know, Chris Wilder's first full season, as it would have been. But Michael Carrick's come in and inherited his team, really. But he's made some astute signings in January, his first window. Cameron Archer says it is a loan signing, but he's very, very quick and started to score a lot of goals. Two goals against Sheffield United. It looks really dangerous. So goals aren't just coming from Tuber Akpom. But since, as Ian said, Tuber's been put back into number 10 position, he's dictating all the play up front, but also arriving in the box and scoring all the goals. And 17 league goals is the most that anyone's scored for Middlesbrough for a very long time. And then, as Ian was saying, Marcus Force is playing on the right-hand side, but cutting into the box and getting goals from that position as well. So, and Aaron Ramsey was the other player that we brought in as a loan signing in the window from Aston Villa, a young player. He came on for the last 10-15 minutes at Sheffield United and looked like a really skillful player indeed. So look forward to seeing more of him. And of course, we said last time we signed Dan Barlaser, who was a youth player at Newcastle. He cannot get in the team at the moment despite having the highest assists in the championship because of the formidable form of Johnny Howson, who just goes on and on and on, and also young Hayden Hackney, who's in his first season, but already looks like a real star of the future. He's just a real dynamo, and he set up the second goal at Sheffield United with a storming run. It was the third goal actually, a storming run through the centre, which saw Heckenbottom, the Sheffield United, the Blades boss, did a karate kick through the substitute board.
Yeah. Wrong sport. Wrong sport, unfortunately. You know,
yeah.
Great if you're actually looking at martial arts, but you know, yeah, you don't want to see that on the field. Hayden Agnew, of course, also provided the assist for Archer's second goal against Cardiff City, which, again, we haven't really had a chance to speak about. There was a moment I thought actually we'd spend more time talking about Cardiff and Sheffield United, but very briefly, of course, Cardiff City... dispatched to the sword, put to the sword relatively straightforwardly?
Except for you're right, Hackney was absolutely outstanding in the first half. We dipped a bit in the second half and we were put under a bit of pressure until Matty Crooks, who was comes on as like a substitute, a big tall guy, but with a bit of pace as well, and he came on and led the charge upfield and pushed the ball across for Riley McGree to score, to sort of break all the hearts in Cardiff, because they did threaten to come back into it. And Riley McGree did this mad jig where his shirt is... He pulled his shirt up and he got stuck on top of his head over his face. So he just sort of did it. He made it into a jig, which was in front of the Borough fans, which was much appreciated.
Well, absolutely. Okay. Jessica, we're up next for the second of your predictions. You've gone for 3-0. Actually, we haven't. I'm going to go 2-1 to Middlesbrough. Rob, what's your thought for the QPR game?
QPR, I'm hoping that Ian's correct. I'm going to go for 3-0. It's been 3-1 the last couple of games, hasn't it? But this time, hopefully 3-0.
Looking for a clean sheet for Zach Steffen. Yeah. Okay.
Bit of information, Jessica, for West Bromwich Albion. They are known as the Baggies. They're based in the West Midlands. They also are effectively known as the Albion. They effectively have been up and down. They used to be called Boing Boing Baggies in many ways.
Yeah.
But here they are, as I say, looking to obviously improve their position. They're at home to Middlesbrough on the 25th of February, possibly the day after we've looked at your recommendation for Book of the Month. I know, very exciting. I haven't even let Rob know what that is. In fact, we might sort of do a bit of program crossover on that side of things there, because I even had to request that Jessica actually gave the title out twice, but I'm thoroughly enjoying it, I have to say. It's a really good, it's a Wizard's Guide to Defensive Baking by T. Kingfisher, who actually I didn't realize, Jessica, T. Kingfisher is an author who's actually based in North Carolina. So were you supporting the Carolinas there?
I didn't even know that. I should have checked. That's so cool. Well, you know, world works in mysterious ways. I'm glad I'm supporting Carolina author.
Ian, I know, will love A Wizard's Guide to Defensive Baking, because, I mean, it's a wondrous text. So, yeah, there we are, T. Kingfisher. Anyway, enough of Book of the Month. After all, that's a different podcast for a different soul, etc. Although it is crossed over many times by Jenny Bill. Not Jenny Bill, Jenny Finch. Very confusing. Yeah. Ian, what's your thought about... No, let's go back to Jessica. You see, confusing. It's reading A Wizard's Guide to Defensive Baking. Jessica, Middlesbrough against West Bromwich Albion. What's your prediction for that, having gone for a 1-0 defeat for Middlesbrough against QPR?
I think I'll be nice to Middlesbrough again this time. So, but I do have one question. What is a baggie? Why are they called baggies? What is that?
It's a good question.
Does nobody know?
we can help with smoggies, because that's a kind of nickname for the smog that used to percolate through Teesside and Cleveland, etc. Baggies, obviously we've had baggy trousers, but I don't think the two were connected, really. I mean,
used to be called the throstles, didn't they, years ago? Yeah. And they have like a kind of like a thrush thing as a mascot. But I don't know. It was baggies and boing boing went together, but I don't really know how it happened. Yeah. We'll have to ask them.
Maybe Tony Mowbray would know. I mean, he used to look after them back in the day.
Yeah.
Jessica, let's move on from that thing. Has that, the fact that Rob did reveal their earlier nickname of the throstles, because obviously we're talking about a bird and another, has that tipped the balance again, you know?
I know. I feel like I have to be nice to Middlesbrough again. So I don't know. I'll say 2-1 though. But I do appreciate the bird comments. That's nice. The bird game.
Yeah, exactly. So there we are. And Ian, do you feel that Middlesbrough will continue their winning run? I mean, I'm assuming obviously you're right against the QPR result, or get back on winning ways against West Brom.
I'm hoping so. I think I'm back in the win 2-1.
So matching Jessica's score, you're playing it very slowly straight on that basis.
Can one do better?
and Rob, as you make the journey down to the West Midlands,
I'm going to agree with both of them. I think it'll be a far tougher game, not least because we've had a long winning run, and well, they don't go for it on forever. But I'm going to go for 2-1 as well. That's what I'm hoping.
From what I saw against Sheffield United, Middlesbrough now have the confidence to go play really attacking football away from home.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely, yeah. And obviously Sheffield United really tried to attack us from the start to try and take the game to us. And they did, obviously, as we've said, went 1-0 down, but we hung on and quickly found our feet and started to dominate the midfield. And, caused a real threat. Exactly. Yeah.
Yes, they played very well from deep, I thought.
And the next paper edition of Fly Me to the Moon, Rob, the actual hard copy, is that released on the 3rd of March?
Yeah, that's right, yes. So it's for the
Reading game.
Which is March the 4th, Saturday, March the 4th. But yes,
Jessica, again, a little bit of a heads up here. I'm not sure whether from America you might sort of see Middlesbrough versus Reading. It's actually Reading, pronounced Reading, spelt Reading. Very confusing, but at the same time, that's the whole sort of way in which the English language works sometimes this side of the pond. You know this. That's why you're doing an MA in children's literature.
Yes, English is tricky, but it's a beautiful language.
Yeah, it's such a pity. It gets so confused, particularly when if Ian starts talking Geordie. I mean, Ian, I know this is Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast, but I think Rob will forgive me if I say, Ian, would you like to give Jessica an example of bro Geordie pet?
Hey, Jessica, how are your hammer over here? That's Jessica. Would you mind throwing your hammer over here?
What? That's impressive.
Yep. It's a strange and bizarre world, and probably, Rob, that's the reason Newcastle were awarded city status back in the day. But, you know, too much hammering. You know, they thought they were supporting West Ham, another London-based side. Okay, Rob, finally, let's just talk briefly about Kadeem. Will you be there as well for Kadeem's sort of package, or is it a case of I can only be in certain places at the same time? So much fascinating, though, this discussion session will be at 2B Creative Centre, the Hill Street Shopping Centre. Not too far away from us, actually, not too away from where we're recording this at this very moment.
Absolutely.
Will you be there? What's the plan?
I will try to get there. I'll try and see some of Kadeem. I know a lot of his story already, so it'll be interesting to
hey,
hear
Rob,
it again.
You are responsible for a lot of his story. You were the one who basically insisted he write poetry. We heard this at the start, so it's all very important. Okay, moving on. Ian, any closing thoughts you'd like to share for the remainder of this particular Fly Me to the Moon podcast? Obviously, looking ahead to the game against QPR.
It's a bit about Newcastle, really, so I may meet with disapproval.
So people are switching off, obviously, but that's okay. We can carry on.
One of my friends found some old, came into possession of some very old film of Newcastle United games from the 50s and 60s, which were filmed on the corner of the ground on top of an entrance. And eventually, he couldn't find a home for these films, and a lot of them, they were television films of the day, and I thought were extraordinarily valuable, but I only saw them like in negative form. And he's now, when Newcastle won the Fairs Cup about 50 years ago, and there's a Fairs Cup organisation, a meet, including one Dave Hilly, who you may remember has been an outstandingly good outside right in Newcastle's days. He became a school teacher. And he lives in Gosforth now, and I see him occasionally. And I gather he took charge of the film, and I think the meeting of one of these of this group, they're going to try and show some of the film, and I'm hoping to get along to watch it.
To be precise, it was 54 years ago when Bobby Munco actually lifted the Fairs Cup for Newcastle. But, you know, you wouldn't remember that. Yeah, so there we are. I'm sure you'll actually have another trophy coming your way when you actually pay Manchester United to actually hand over their trophy in the Carabao Cup final, which obviously is rightfully owned by another side. But that's another buy, by the by. Okay.
Are you the present holders of it, are you?
No.
Man City.
No, it's an even worse. It's some Merseyside organization, a sort of half cocked American organization from Merseyside who actually sort of hold it. So, yeah.
We're playing them on Saturday, tomorrow.
Well, let's hope you do well. That's all I can say. You know, Jurgen Klopp versus, of course, the rest. Anyway,
he's got a bit grumpy recently, hasn't he?
No. Jurgen, our friendly German, surely not. I mean, you know, grumpiness, as Rob's demonstrated, is when your manager karate chops the boards. That's really grumpy.
No, I think when Jurgen starts to show 23 teeth, you know you're in trouble.
Jurgen Klopp is a German, by the way, Jessica, who is in charge of a club called Liverpool at present, and he used to be in charge of Borussia Dortmund. Known for his stubble, and of course, he used to have very positive glasses as well, but I think he had laser surgery or something, but anyway, that's all. Anyway,
too scared
to go back,
but...
he could
eat a pigeon with one gulp, Jessica.
is he a very big guy?
You'll know what I mean when you see a picture of him angry.
I'll have to look him up. I'm curious.
So, Jessica, can you remember the final seven words that Rob insists on saying, quite rightly so, at the end of every one of these Fly Me to the Moon podcasts?
Okay, I think so. Is it okay? It's come on, Burra, and up the Burra.
Yeah, you see, exactly.
One day we'll chant away the lads, but never mind.
No,
I'm looking for a rendition of Blue Moon personally. You know,
no, we won't.
Yeah, I mean, there are certain ways.
Robbie wouldn't last long as a fish.
No.
Anyway.
Yeah, this is a poor podcast.
Kadeem Hussain, earlier in the program, we launched this whole thing off, to Ian Lennox, to Jessica Burtis, and to Rob Nichols. Thank you, thank you. Keep on keeping on. Would you like to start us off then, Jessica, with those final seven words? A one, two, three.
Come on.
Come on, Burr.
Come on, Burr.
Up the Burr.